Mark chapter 10, verse 45. Stand for the reading of the word. For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many. And they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And many charged him that he should hold his peace, but he cried the more a great deal, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee. And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? The blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. You may be seated. I would like to speak this morning on He Calleth Thee. We're reminded in the opening verse of my text this morning the reason that Jesus Christ came into the world. The Bible says that He came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give His life a ransom for many. That word minister means that He came to help others. That's really the reason He came. He came to help others. And then immediately we have an example of Jesus as He is helping someone. Jesus is on His way to Jerusalem. His earthly journey is almost over. And He's passing through Jericho on His way to Jerusalem. As He's passing through Jericho, He encounters a man by the name of Bartimaeus. As He's leaving Jericho, He encounters this man by the name of Bartimaeus. Bartimaeus is a blind man. And in that day, to be blind was a very terrible thing. You were completely dependent on somebody else. It reduced you to beggary. So this man is sitting by the side of the road begging as Jesus is passing by. Now it's a time when there are a lot of people on the road because it's the Passover season. People are traveling to Jerusalem because at Passover, the Jews come from all over to Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover. So it's a time that a lot of people are on the roads, and this blind man is sitting by the highway begging. He's got his cup with him, and no doubt he's taking advantage of these crowds that are moving through on their way to Jerusalem for the Passover feast. And he's probably, this is, you know, sort of like Christmas time for the merchants. This is his Christmas time, so to speak. He's really hoping that he can make a good living now with these multitudes passing by. But this man, this blind man Bartimaeus, has heard about a man named Jesus. He knows something about him. He knows about his ministry. He knows about the miracles that this man has been doing. He's heard about him. I doubt that he had any idea that he'd ever come in contact with him. But he knows about Jesus. He knows enough about him till he believes he's the Messiah. Because when Jesus comes by, he calls him the Son of David. And that title, the Son of David, is a messianic title. So this man knows enough about Jesus. He's heard enough about Jesus that he believes that Jesus is the Messiah. So this man has some knowledge of Jesus Christ. That day that he's sitting on the side of the road begging, he has no idea that he's going to have an encounter with Jesus Christ on that day. But as he sits there that day, the crowds are moving through. He hears a commotion and he inquires, "What is this commotion all about?" And the crowd tells him that Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. Oh, y'all, I don't know if I can tell y'all this or not in the way that it ought to be told. But here's a man just hoping to get his cup full. And Jesus is passing by and he hears that name. Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. I can just see something inside of that man leap up. He thinks, "You mean Jesus is coming down this road? Why, if Jesus is coming down this road, I might have an opportunity to get some help for my blinded eyes." No doubt he'd heard about other people getting help for their blinded eyes. And now then he thinks within himself, "I've got an opportunity. Jesus is passing down this road." And when he hears that Jesus is passing by, he begins to cry. He says, "Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me." And over and over, he begins to cry this cry, "Jesus, have mercy on me." Now this man is not asking for Jesus to do something for him because he feels like he deserves it. He realizes that he's a beggar. He knows that he's way down the ladder socially. He doesn't have any claim on Christ. He can't say, "Well, here's my parents and they're important people. I've got an important post in the government." He can't say anything like that. All he can say is, "Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me." Yes. And I want you to understand something. That's the kind of attitude that gets the attention of Jesus Christ. Jesus told about a prayer meeting in the temple one day. And a Pharisee goes up and a publican goes up to the prayer meeting. The Pharisee, no doubt, has been there many times before in the prayer meeting. And this day he stands in the midst of the crowd and speaks so everybody can hear him and says, "God, I thank you that I'm not like other men. Thank you that I'm not an adulterer. I'm not a robber. So I pay my tithes of all I possess." And he went on telling what a good fellow he was. And he said, "I thank God I'm not like this publican over here." And over there in the corner, away from the crowd, sort of by himself, feeling so unworthy, there is this publican beating upon his breast, won't even lift up his head to heaven, but cries and says, "Oh God, be merciful unto me, a sinner." Jesus said in that prayer meeting, I don't know who else might have been heard, but I know that the Pharisee was not heard. But Jesus said that that publican praying over in the corner, beating his breast, crying, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." Jesus said God heard that man's prayer and he went home justified. God answered his prayer. When we understand that we are at the mercy of God, when we understand that we do not deserve his blessings, and when we cry to him saying, "Oh God, be merciful unto me." The crowd heard this blind man crying. Some of them in the crowd said to him, "Hush, shut up. He don't have time for you. Jesus don't have time for you. Shut up. Don't bother the master." They tried to discourage him from calling upon the name of Jesus. But he would not be quiet. He kept on crying, "Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy upon me." No doubt this was the first time that Jesus had been down his road. And he did not know it, but this was the last time Jesus would be down his road. This was his last opportunity. If he didn't get help this time, he wouldn't get help. And so cried aloud again, "Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy upon me." Listen, we don't never know when Jesus is passing down our road for the last time. This man did not realize it, but Jesus was on his way to the cross. And in just a few days, he'd be hanging on a cross. He'd never walk this road again. It was the last time that he would pass by this way. And this man has got his last opportunity. Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy upon me. We never know. Young people, we never know when it will be the last time that Jesus walks down our road, that he's in our presence, that we have an opportunity to call upon him, to seek him, to get what we need from him. And this man cried out. He would not be silent. Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy upon me. But what this multitude did not understand, they did not understand that Jesus was here for people just like that blind man. For Jesus came not to be ministered unto, but to minister. That was the reason that he came into this world, to meet the deepest needs of the human family. He was here to minister. He was here to serve. He was here to share of the riches of his grace and mercy and power. And so as Jesus walked down that road, and they're trying to silence this man, but they don't understand. That's the reason Jesus is here, for people just like that man. You remember Jesus one time eating and drinking with the publicans and sinners, the Pharisees, the religious people criticizing, and they say, what is Jesus doing eating and drinking with sinners and publicans? And Jesus spoke to them and said to them, he said, it is not those that are well that need a physician, but those that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Now listen, those people criticizing him were sinners. They didn't know they were sinners. They didn't think they were sinners. They were hypocrites. And they needed him too. But they didn't think they needed him. So Jesus said, I didn't come for people who don't need me, but I came for people who realize they need me. Hallelujah. And so it's the sick that need a physician. This man was one of the reasons that Jesus had come into this world. He came not to be ministered unto, but he came to minister. This man crying out, Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me. And the crowd saying, be quiet, be quiet. He don't have time for you. But all of a sudden, Jesus stood still. He heard that man's cry. Above all the commotion around him, Jesus heard that man's cry. And he said, send for that man. And somebody went over there to where he was, and they said, be of good comfort. He calls for you. He calls for you. That man sitting there, blind, a beggar, realizing this is an opportunity for him to get some help. The Bible says he flung off his garments, sprang to his feet, and went over to where Jesus was. I don't know whether somebody led him or he followed the tone of Jesus' voice, but somehow he got over there to where Jesus was. Hallelujah. And Jesus asked him the question, what would you have me to do? You know, he could have said, Lord, I've got about 15 cups right here. I want you to fill my cups. But that wasn't what he wanted. You know, you got to make a decision. When you get into the presence of Jesus, you've got to make a decision. What's the most important thing that I need in my life? And it wasn't full cups that he needed. He needed God to open his eyes and give him his sight back. And he said, Lord, that I might receive my sight. And praise God. I'm telling you, brother, we don't want to bring foolish requests to God, but we want to bring to God a request that he'll honor. We want to bring to God, we want to have some priorities in our life that when we come to him and he says, what do you want? We want to have something important to tell him. Lord, this is what I need in my life. Hallelujah. This man understood if he could get his sight back, he'd throw every one of them cups away, get him a job, and make him a living. Praise God. You know, some people might not have wanted to be healed of their blindness, but this man wanted to be healed of his blindness. He's throwing them cups away, and he'd go make a living for himself. So Jesus said, "What do you want?" "I want to see, Lord." And the Lord said, "Listen, go thy way," he said. And how did he say it? "Go thy way," he said. "Thy faith hath made thee whole." And immediately he received his sight. Praise God. Jesus set him free. He set him free, gave him his sight, set him free, said, "Go thy way." And all of a sudden he can see. Brother, you talk about a happy man. This man who had been able to see at some point, he's recovering his sight. But now then he can see. He can see the trees. He can see the birds. He can see the crowds. But I'm sure he had eyes for one person. Now then, he can see Jesus. Hallelujah. The Son of God. And he's got his eyes on Jesus. And Jesus said, "Go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee whole." You're free. Go your way. But what does this blind man do? The Bible says he began to follow Jesus in the way. So this man who could have gone anywhere he wanted to go, he can see, and Jesus has set him free. But this man makes up his mind, "I'm going to follow the Son of God." You know, sometimes there have been people that God has done wonderful things for. And after Jesus has done wonderful things for him, they do go their own way. But this man, after Jesus had done this wonderful deed for him, the Bible says, after Jesus had told him, "Go your way," he said, "I'm going your way." Praise God. "I'm going to follow you, Jesus." And he followed Jesus in the way. Brother, that's the way that we should react when the Lord does a wonderful work for us. "Lord, I'm a-going your way." Praise God. You know, Jesus Christ is the same this morning as he's ever been. Same now, yesterday, today, and forever. And the Bible says, "Where two or three are gathered together in his name," he said, "I'll be there in the midst." I believe Jesus is here this morning in this service. Praise God. I believe that he keeps his promises to his children. I believe that if you're here in this service this morning and you need help from the Son of God, that Jesus Christ is here to help you. It's an opportunity. We're in the house of God. Jesus has said, "I'll be there with the people of God." It's an opportunity to call upon him. "Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy upon me." And Jesus would say to you, "What do you want me to do?" And we've got an opportunity to tell him, "Jesus, this is what I need. If I'm lost, Jesus can save me." Praise God. "If I'm sick, Jesus can heal me." Hallelujah. Oh yeah. I know he can. No matter what's wrong with us, Jesus can heal us. Praise God. I was listening to a broadcast one day. Y'all, I got to take this coat off. I was listening to a broadcast one day, and Sister Judy, I want you to go to the piano. This guy was telling about a Southern Baptist preacher who was ministering in a Muslim country and making no progress. It seemed like all of his efforts were in vain. And he called a little group of Christians to fasting and praying. He said, "I want you to fast and pray that God will give us souls in this Muslim land." So they began to fast and pray. He began to talk with some of the Muslims and made friends with them. They began to invite him into their mosque to pray for them in the name of Jesus. So every once in a while, he'd go to the mosque and they'd invite him to the front and they'd ask him to pray for them in the name of Jesus. And he'd pray for them in the name of Jesus. One day he'd been invited to the mosque. And Amon, the pastor, had called him up to pray for them in the name of Jesus. He stood up in front of that congregation. And when he stood there to pray, there was a man got up out of the congregation and walked up to the front, had a crippled girl in his hands. He said to the preacher, I want to know, can your Jesus make my little girl walk? She's never walked in her life. Can your Jesus make my little girl walk? And the preacher said, yes, my Jesus can make your little girl walk. He said, would you pray for my little girl in the name of Jesus that she'd be able to walk? And he said, yes, I will pray for your little girl in the name of Jesus that she'll be able to walk. So he stood there, and the preacher, under his breath, said to God, oh God, if you have ever heard me, hear me now. Laid his hands on that little girl, said, Jesus, heal this little girl. Make her walk again. After he got through praying, the dad opened his eyes, looked at his little girl. She's in the same shape she was before he prayed. He thanked the preacher, went back and sat down at his seat. After he sat down at his seat, all of a sudden, that little girl jumped out of her daddy's arms, went running down the aisle in that mosque in front of all of those people, completely made whole by the power of Jesus. Revival broke out in that mosque. The preacher got saved. I'm talking about the preacher in the mosque got saved. People in that mosque started turning to Jesus. Revival broke out. They saw Jesus heal that little girl. I want to tell you something a little more personal than that. My granddaddy, my grandmother got saved. My granddaddy was a holiness fighter. He hated the holiness people. My grandmother got saved in the holiness church. He hated the holiness people. He told her, he said, I'm not going to that church, that trashy people. He said, I'm as good as any of them down there. My granny prayed for him, for God to save him for years. He opposed her every step of the way. Come in and slap his hand over her mouth and tell her to quit praying. And my granny kept on praying year after year. God saved my husband. One day God came to him. He was at the gambling table with his buddies, and God came to him. The Holy Ghost came and spoke to his heart, brought conviction to him. He got up from the gambling table, told his buddies, said, I'm leaving. They said, don't leave, Pittman, you're winning. He said, I got to go. Why are you going? I don't know, but I got to go. Walked to the house, told my granny, said, I'm going to church with you tonight. He went to church with her. That night, God spoke to his heart. There was a little crippled child in that church. They brought that little child to the front of the church that night to be prayed for. The little child couldn't walk. They anointed that child and prayed for that child in the name of Jesus. That child jumped off of the altar, ran to its parents in that church. My granddaddy, the skeptic, saw that. He saw God do a miracle. It shook him up. On the way home, he told my grandmother, he said, I want you to pray for me, that God will save me. She said, I thought you told me you was already saved. He said, you knew I wasn't. The next night he went to the revival meeting. He said he could hardly wait till they gave the altar call. And he went to the altar and gave his heart to Jesus. That night, my granddaddy said, all of the habits he'd accumulated over the years, cursing, swearing, smoking, gambling, drinking, made homebrew, He said that night when Jesus saved his soul, he said, they fell off of me like going up to an old apple tree full of overripe apples and giving it a good kick. He said, just like those apples fall off of that tree. He said, my habits fell off of me that night. Jesus delivered me and set me free. Praise God. I'm going a little longer than I meant to, but just hold on just another minute here. My granddaddy had ruined his stomach by drinking some bad moonshine. He got a hold of some bad moonshine, drank it. It liked to kill me. He thought he was going to die. Sent for the doctor. Before he got there, he threw up. When the doctor got there, he said, Mr. Pittman, if you hadn't thrown up, you'd be a dead man now. But it ruined his stomach. He couldn't eat anything hardly, just soft stuff. After the Lord saved him, that night, the next morning, he told my grandmother, he said, Granny, Mama, I want you to fix me a breakfast. I want a four-course breakfast. I want sausage. I want eggs. I want biscuits. I want everything. Oh, his mother was living, and she said, Wallace, you know you can't eat that. It'll ruin your stomach. You know you can't do that. He said, I believe I can. So Granny fixed him a breakfast that morning. Sausage and eggs and gravy and grits and biscuits and the whole works. He sat down at the table and ate a good breakfast that never hurt him, and he ate the rest of his life healed by the power of God. The same night that Jesus saved him, he healed his stomach. He never had any more problems with it. I'm telling you, Jesus Christ has what you need. This very day, Jesus has what you need. Oh, yes, he's still a healer. He's still a savior. He's still a sanctifier. He's still a Holy Ghost baptizer. He's everything that we need this morning. Whatever our needs are. I'm going to do things a little bit different this morning. This is out of the ordinary for you that are visitors. This is not the way we normally run our services. But I know that there are people in this service this morning that have deep needs. And I'm going to just open up this service right now for anybody that feels that need. Now, if you don't feel your need, you won't come. But if you feel your need this morning of help from Jesus, I'm going to ask you to come to the front. I'm going to take you all and anoint those that need to be anointed. And we're going to pray for anybody that needs to be prayed for. If you need to be saved, whatever your need is, we're going to pray for you this morning. Ask God to help you. Let me see. Let me do it this way. I'd like to know, first of all, because this is the most important need, if there is a person in this building that you know, I'm lost. If I died before I went home, I'd go straight to hell. I don't know Jesus, and I'd go to hell if I died before I got home. I want to give you a chance first to step out from where you are. Come down here to this altar. And we will pray for you in the name of Jesus. And the same Savior that opened blinded eyes for Bartimaeus can open your blinded eyes spiritually, forgive you of your sins, and send you on your way rejoicing in your heart, knowing that you are saved and right with God. While we stand together right now, if there's a one in this congregation, this is the most important need right here of any need that we have in this congregation. If there's one soul in this building that you know you're lost, if you died before you got home, you'd go to hell. Would you just step out, come to this altar, and let us pray for you, and by that say, preacher, I want to be saved. Jesus, I want to be saved. I don't want to be lost. I want to know Jesus as my Savior. While we wait just a moment here, while Sister Judy sings, is there one that you just step out and come to this altar? Let us pray for you that Jesus would save you. God bless you, Kim. Hallelujah, you're right here.
Oh, someday. places. Are there others? Is there another that you want to be saved? Oh, you want to go to heaven. You want to live for Jesus. This is the most important thing. God bless you. Hallelujah. Is there another in this congregation? Some of you brothers. Is there another in this congregation that you're lost? You want to be saved? You would come and step out and come to this altar and say, by that all, I want to be saved. I want Jesus to save my soul. Is there another this morning? Is there another? While we wait just a moment, is there another? Step out. Would you have courage? Would you come to this altar and say, yes, I want to be saved. I want to go to heaven. I want my sins forgiven. I want to know Jesus as my Savior. All right, for you that want to be prayed for your sickness, just hold on a few minutes here. We're going to pray for these that need to be saved. We'll anoint those who need to be healed, who have physical problems. I know we have some that have severe problems here, but Jesus is able. Jesus is able. All that will be.